Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and it's good to have you with us again. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting our sponsors and our show, and we look forward to being with you every weekend. We have Bob and Mary Griswold.
The Griswolds, yes.
Bob and Mary Griswold.
Are you a little tired, Rick?
Yeah, a little bit.
And when I was working, I was always called Clark.
Clark. And Mary is rightwinggranny.com, great conservative blog. We have Howe and Rainer James.
Hey there.
Hey.
And we are all frazzled. This is Wednesday night after the election. We've spent a couple of weeks on our feet at the polls, electioneering, and we're wore out.
And disappointed.
And disappointed, yeah. Disheartened.
Well, it's also the election with unknown results.
At this point in time, we still don't know anything about who our president is or going to be.
I know what I think about it.
Yeah.
And I'm alternately angry, hopeful, mad, depressed, angry, determined to get up, dust off my knees, and get back at it again, and generally scrambled emotionally.
I sincerely think we've been robbed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a lot.
We haven't been robbed yet. It's not called.
Yeah. Good point, Mary.
I'm not talking about the president. I'm talking about a lot of places.
A lot of places, yeah. Right,
yes.
Here, in, you know, look at all, like Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson and the other Republicans at swept it with high voter turnout, high numbers. And then all of a sudden, those same Republicans that voted for all of them jump over and vote for Roy Cooper.
I don't believe that.
I don't
do
either.
You?
No, no. There's something not right about that.
Something is fishy.
What really tears me up is all these, what do you call them, absentee voter things that people mail-in harvested. They go out and look for them and turn them in. By the hundreds, by the thousands, it depends on how much area you're talking about.
Right. Well, we know intimately about three or four races there locally here, the school board races.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Three candidates, all three of the candidates running as conservative Republicans. One at the polls.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
One at the polls.
And the fourth one, a write-in, got roughly 17% of the vote.
Right.
Which doesn't happen accidentally. It was a concerted effort that was well received.
Right. But we all lost the election by 2,000 to 3,000 votes each because of the write-in or mail-in ballots.
Right.
That began being mailed prior to October 14th.
Yeah.
And that first week or so is where the majority of the ballots came from.
And I think there was an enormous harvesting operation going on.
Right. See, in October, there was plenty of time and room for things to change a lot. So why did such a large percentage of people mail in their ballots in October?
I wonder if the same thing didn't happen to Dan Forrest.
Probably so.
The governor, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it was orchestrated and organized, very well organized, and, well, that's what happened.
Right.
Okay. We had a good campaign, good race. Looked very positive there from the results we were seeing at the polls, interfacing with the public and the people. But we couldn't do that with the mail-in ballots.
No, no. So, I am tired of banana republic results.
Yeah. All right.
Well, you know, also with the mail-ins and also the early voting, you look at the extra expense for keeping the polls open on all those extra days.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Again, the fact that we're not allowed to use the voter ID, which was passed by the people.
Right.
And we weren't allowed to do that. And just a number of irregularities in the way that you conduct a poll.
Well, there was a bright spot in that the Superior Court judge, Chief Judge Paul Newby, did win. Mm-hmm. And then,
two others on two, the Supreme Court candidates
the
that
other,
were
two
conservative.
Others, right.
Two others
so,
on the court.
Yeah, when things go to the Supreme Court now, there's going to be a difference.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a question about that because I don't understand things. So how many people are on the Supreme Court?
Seven.
Okay. When do these new judges take their seats?
First of the year, January 1st.
Okay. After January 1st, what is the makeup of the North Carolina Supreme Court?
Four Democrats and three Republicans.
And right now it's?
It's seven.
Six Democrats and one Republican. Okay. Paul Newby was the only Republican.
So we're not the Republicans are not a majority.
No, but the Chief Justice is a Republican, which should
and
be
some. And
that
was something that was a little swirly about the fact that the person who was Chief Justice was not the person that was in line to be Chief Justice.
Based on seniority, it would have been Paul Newby. Based on the governorship, the governor appointed the one that he wanted.
Okay.
Now the point of the Chief Justice is when they schedule the cases to be heard.
Right.
So right now, certain cases are not being heard by the election of the Chief Justice.
Right.
Right.
But Paul Newby can change that now.
Paul Newby will be able to change that.
And in some cases, not hearing a case is deciding it.
That's
in
correct.
Effect.
Yes.
And you know, Paul Newby has come to a lot of our God and Country Christian Alliance banquets. I think for several years he's kept coming, and he's a wonderful speaker. You'd think he was a preacher the way he does
he's
the invocation.
He's an amazing historian.
Yes, he is,
and a very principled person. Mm-hmm. So
right,
that was one bright ray of sunlight in sunshine on the election.
Yes,
because when I've heard him speak, I've been amazed of his knowledge of history.
Absolutely.
But you know, the stuff that's gone on and on about irregularities in the election, fraud, Tom Fitton is being censored right and left with Judicial Watch. He's mm-hmm. posted some things on Twitter that are being challenged, you know, their fact check
yes.
sort of garbage. But one of the things he said was Judicial Watch study finds 1.8 million extra names on voter rolls in 29 states, which is the tip of the iceberg. Blindly mailing ballots to dirty voting rolls is inexcusably reckless and increases opportunities for voter fraud. Well, we all know that. There's been voter fraud in North Carolina. And he was talking about Pennsylvania rolls being
yes.
a particular mess.
The thing... Also, with the Pennsylvania ballots, they're being mailed out, and they're being sent back in metered envelopes that
don't have
a
postmark.
Yeah, Rudy Giuliani was up in Philadelphia, and you know, the president's attorney, and past mayor of New York.
Here's an interesting.
Well, wait a minute. I want to finish this. If you don't,
I thought you did. You
no, I wasn't finished with that. What he was complaining about was the so-called observers that were supposed to be able to look at the ballots. Were kept 20 feet away, and they even got binoculars, and they stopped them from doing that. So it was obviously in Philadelphia there was voter fraud going on.
Well, they need Philadelphia to counter the fact that Trump has won the rest of the state.
Yep.
So they're working on it after the fact.
All right, Rick.
Yeah.
You can go now, Rick. I'm sorry, Rick.
Take charge.
Yeah.
Y'all three. Yes. All right. I just wanted to read. This is an interesting comment by Chris Orman that we recently had on the show. Says, what I don't understand is how do we know Cooper won if we don't know what president won North Carolina yet? Mm-hmm. Aren't they both on the same ballot?
What an
question.
Astute
yeah.
observation. You darn tootin'. Yeah. How could we possibly?
There you go.
There's well, thank you, Chris.
There's all kinds of crazy things have happened.
Yep. All right. Well, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and continue this conversation.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we obviously have been talking, rehashing the election again. This is Wednesday night we're recording. So by the time you hear this on Saturday or Sunday, things will have probably changed, or maybe not. They may still be battling out. But in North Carolina, let me ask you another question. How many people do you really think voted for Trump, Tillis, and Mark Robinson, and then switch to Cooper for governor?
Gosh. That's very questionable.
Does that make any sense at all?
No. That's very
good.
At a
guess, zero.
Yeah. And you go back 4 years to when Cooper won originally, it was the same scenario.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, Republicans, yeah. And then all of a
up
sudden.
And down, well, except for the attorney general, there's some key things that have to do with election integrity.
Right.
Secretary those top of three, State, yes. And the auditor and the attorney general.
Right.
Same thing this time.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we should throw the auditor into that bunch, Bob, because Beth Wood does a really good job of auditing. She's been hard on these medical companies and things like that. She's been hard on the Department of Transportation.
She's done her job well.
She's done her job well.
But I can't say the same for the other two.
No, I agree.
Quite the opposite, as a matter of fact.
I didn't want to smear Beth Woods.
Right.
I
understand that. Well, if a person earns a smear, they get a smear. If they earn attaboys or attagirls, then that's what we should get them.
And that proves we're nonpartisan.
Now, I want to point out, since we were before the break talking about the school board election there.
Right.
I want to point out one obvious problem that we have there. And that said, there were like 10,000 votes difference between the people at the top of the ballot and between the school board and some of the judges.
Number of votes cast.
Right. Uh-huh. Number, in other words, people voted down the ballot and may not even have flipped it over, I don't know. But they didn't vote all the way to the bottom of the ballot.
That's really a problem.
And that's why there's such a disparity of like 10,000 votes total for the top of the ballot versus the bottom of the ballot.
You know, I heard had several conversations and heard others on the subject of the school board and voting for it. And I heard people say things like, well, I don't have any children in school, so I don't have any skin in the game. They lost sight of the fact that, well, I read something in the Daily Signal sometime in the last 2 weeks about of Americans 45 years of age and or younger, roughly half of them feel like socialism is a better, fairer system than is free enterprise. Well, where are they getting that? They're getting that in our schools.
In colleges.
The other thing, yes. Teaching well has to do with several things. Number one, are they good citizens and do they understand what our republic is all about? The answer is no. Then the other thing is, are the schools, and particularly Craven County schools, doing a good job of teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, the basics? The answer is no. Roughly almost 50% of them are not up to speed in any of those
they
areas.
They can't write in cursive.
And so what that does is people don't want to move here. They don't want to put their children in our public schools. That tends to depress home prices. It tends to have businesses want to locate elsewhere. That school business and the quality of public schools has a fallout that covers the entire
spectrum
of life, yes,
right.
Both political and financial for our whole community. It is not to be sneezed at. We need to pay attention.
Now, you said public schools. I want to remind everybody that it's the Board of Education, not the Board of Public Education.
Hear, hear.
It's a board that should support all education, including public schools, charter schools, home schools,
vouchers,
private schools. It's the Board of Education,
sure,
not of public education.
And the more, the merrier, to my way of thinking, because competition tends to, by its very nature, competing makes a person or an entity strive to be its best self because they want to get their share.
All right. Another thing I want to point out as I'm scrolling through social media while y'all are expending hot air here.
Whoa.
Election fraud update. Project Veritas to release bombshell whistleblower story in Michigan tonight. Thousands of tips have flooded into our inbox over the last 24 hours, and we have teams in place following up with them accordingly. So that's going to be interesting to see what that's all about. You know, they typically are in there undercover doing videos with hidden cameras and things
isn't
that like
where
that.
John James ran? Isn't that in Michigan? I think it is. James?
I'm not sure.
I think
yes.
Yes.
Is he kin to you?
No, but our son's name is John James.
I wouldn't be too surprised. I don't know.
All right.
Rick, I want to just go back to the school board for just a moment. One of the other things that is confusing in the Craven County ballots was I talked to a number of people, and this was on election day, that they didn't realize they were able to vote for all four candidates that were on there. They only thought that they could vote for their one district, if their district was active. I said, no, this is the way the law reads that you can vote for each of those offices.
Well, that business of splitting it up so that in the primary they can only vote if there's an open seat in their district, but in the general election for whatever number of seats are open is confusing to voters.
Yes, well, I want to repeat what Rick has already said. At actual voting, people going to the polls to vote, we were able to talk to a lot of people going in, and we pointed out, just as you said, Bob, that all four of them, and most people realized that we were able to talk to them. We talked to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the in-person voting, it's like Rick said, we did very, very well with the people that we wanted to win in in-person voting. It's this doggone voter harvesting, this ballot harvesting that goes on is where we got whipped. And You know, I just think it's overdone. I really do.
Well, it's worse than overdone because when what goes on in this ballot harvesting efforts, I think is akin to voter intimidation. They control voters. It's very pressurized.
Well, I really think that the way it ought to be set up, you know, the gospel according to Hal would be you get yourself to the voting poll and vote in person unless you have some darn good reason for not doing it.
And I think that to go along with that, Hal, that Election Day should be a national holiday so people don't have to take a day off from work or suffer
any. That would be a good thing. Yeah.
You know, open up more polls.
Right.
Instead of spending all this money for 24 months of early voting or weeks or days or, you know, all that early voting and keep extending and extending and extending the amount of time to vote, just open up more poll locations so you can accommodate having more people there on Election Day. And daggone it, if you're interested in the country and the future of this country, you'll get your butt to the polls and cast your vote.
We lived in Virginia for a lot of our adult years. And during that period of time, there was just one day. And
it was a holiday.
Yeah.
And the bars
were jolly
closed.
Well got... What's that?
The bars were closed. I know in New York, the bars were closed on Election Day.
I don't know about that, but I didn't spend much time in bars anyway.
But, you know, it didn't cure it in Virginia. And this is a deep subject, and maybe I shouldn't even broach it, but we need to make a true republic out of each state. North Carolina should be a true republic. In other words, the people that represent in the Senate should represent areas of the state rather than the same number of people. So where we ended up, our Senate and our House are all, what would you call them? Democracies.
By population, right. It's representative democracies rather than a republic.
It's not a true republic. And that's right. That's a deep concept. I can't sell it to any of the legislators, but
I know.
I've tried.
Rick, I do want to add one other thing. Hal, earlier you were defending the auditor, and I want to defend Melanie Ray, director of the Board of Elections.
Sure.
She has to follow state law, and she follows it faithfully, and she does a wonderful job trying to keep us organized because it's herding cats.
Yes, I tell you what, it changed and changed and changed and changed and changed up through and during the election. I don't know how she coped with it.
To remind people that the chairman of the Board of Elections across the state is appointed by the governor of the state. So as long as you've got a liberal Democratic governor, then you're going to have the same thing running the Board of Elections. And that's reflected in our local Board of Elections as well, because the chairman of the local Board of Elections has to be the same party as the governor. So that's how you get control of the whole Board of Elections. It's from the state all the way down to local.
It was also interesting in that vein that the chairman of the state board of elections was able to put out so many executive sheets that were not in agreement with the law.
Absolutely.
We thought the legislature made the laws, not an appointed individual.
In reality, they should. But Cooper has usurped and done things that are totally illegal. He didn't get the concurrence of the Council of State, issued orders that were well above his authority without that concurrence, and he just behaved as if it were perfectly legal. So he set a perfect example for his head of the elections.
Right,
and
there's
no challenge from the Attorney General.
Right, because he's in his pocket, and there's no accountability for it because we have a corrupt judicial system that over the years was skillfully put in place so that they can control our elections. They can control everything. You can have a governor doing such things as what Cooper's doing that are unconstitutional. Let's take, for example, the voter ID.
Right.
Yeah.
That our people voted for overwhelmingly. It was a
and the one time we did it, the minority voters, which they complained were being disenfranchised by it, which is a whole fabrication and malarkey.
Right.
the numbers went up.
Yep.
Numbers across the board went up because people had more confidence in voter integrity. At this point, I have none. Zero, zilch.
Right. Well, the point I was trying to make is we voted for it as a constitutional amendment.
Yes.
So when it passed, when we voted for it and it passed, it became part of the Constitution.
So how could it be
but
unconstitutional?
But an unelected judge said it was unconstitutional and stopped us from using it.
Bingo.
And there was nobody to step in and say, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, y'all have touched on a subject that I wanted to consider for our next public meeting, to ask some of the recently elected people how they feel about gubernatorial overreach in an emergency. And I think we've had gubernatorial overreach in this COVID thing.
Undoubted.
Yeah. And so, yeah that needs something.
And you haven't seen the end of it yet.
Now no, that of course not.
Now that he has supposedly been reelected, and we don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
I believe that sort of like I've got a bridge to sell you, and you can put up a toll booth and get rich.
Well, you can see him exert more of his power in the near future. All right, well, we need to take another break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Mary, I think you had some statistics for us on the oldest voter this election.
Yes. There's a post on Facebook. The Detroit voter roll lawsuit filed by the Public Interest Legal Foundation And Detroit has a voter who's registered, and he was born in 1823.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
I think you found some other stuff about what's going on.
He's voted for a lot of presidents. Now, look, you know you got to be able to believe that as being factual and true because Facebook has fact-checked it, I'm sure.
They would have discounted it.
If it had been untrue, then it would have been blocked.
Well, the lawsuit also includes 4,788 duplicate registrations.
Mm.
And 32,519 more registered voters than eligible voters, and 2,503 dead people registered.
And where was this again?
This is a lawsuit filed by the Public Interest Legal Foundation.
And in Detroit.
In Detroit.
And you also said that they apparently have cut off any observation?
This is a post from someone named Drew Thompson, who says Detroit election officials are currently refusing to let the public observe the counting process at the TCF Center. They have padlocked the doors.
When you say public observe, do you mean the observers that are sent there to do it?
I don't know that.
Okay.
I did see
a clip of video. I didn't catch where it was because I was in transit of
Operation Project Veritas.
Somebody standing in the polls, an official saying, "I want all Republican observers out of this room."
Yeah.
I don't know where it was, but yeah, they were trying to get all of them out of there.
So I suppose that means that we shouldn't be suspicious at all.
No.
So Philadelphia is not the only place where that happened.
They were probably using up too much oxygen or something. They needed to refresh the room. I'm being facetious.
Yes, you are, but I don't blame you a bit. I'm mad as a hornet. I don't like the way this is being handled. It's very improper.
Fact checkers aren't coming after you yet.
No. They can't censor my speech, only what I put on Facebook.
Well, they're working hard on that.
Yeah, I know. Well, oh gosh. Is there anything other than elections that we could talk about?
I would like to say one more thing about elections.
I know.
All right, Lady. We work really hard during these elections.
Yes, you did.
And it's disheartening to work hard during the elections and do as good a job as we had, as it shows that we had done, interfacing with people going in to vote.
Because of the results of the in-person voting.
Right, and then you have all these doggone mail-in things that ruin it. It's disheartening. It makes you wonder, I worked my backside off, and here's what we get for it.
And it's really hard to understand some of it because you hear so many people complaining.
Right.
I'm fed up with this. I'm fed up with that. The school board has got to go. We got to have a new school board. And what have you got now?
Same old
school.
You got the same school board with one more additional Democrat.
Yeah.
So now it's six Democrats and one unaffiliated.
It was associated with a school board in another county.
Yeah.
Up well here first.
Right.
So
in the school system, I mean, in another county.
Yeah, it's still in with the in crowd.
Right.
People really wrapped up in the school.
And I mean,
not a new set of eyes, not a broader horizon look at things, no drawing back to 50,000 feet and looking at an overview. There's none of that.
Right. And you've had these social media groups that have evolved on Facebook and, other social media platforms for months now have been talking about what we've got to do to change it. What we've got to do to change it.
Well, one thing we need to change, and I think it could be done, is to when a school board candidate is elected in their district, that should be the end of it.
Yep.
They should not have to run countywide because they may be well known in their district, but countywide, then that means the present school board and the superintendent of schools and all the administrators through the school have a tremendous effect because the teachers are afraid to go against them.
Yeah,
right?
It's a countywide organization. The other thing is we need to have them be partisan races because what party a person elects to belong to gives a really broad hint about where they're coming from in terms of philosophy of government.
Right, well, that was abused at the polls also because you had certain candidates that were running that didn't want to reveal their party affiliation or they were trying to appear to be something that they weren't, and they kept telling the people, well, it's a nonpartisan nonpartisan race.
But they had
it's a nonpartisan race.
That person had these mega handouts, MEGA.
Yep.
Make education great again, Mayor. But how do we associate mega? You know, it,
right.
It's what associates with.
I want to change the subject completely.
All right.
And I want your opinion on this because I really don't know about this. CBS News has reported that one of the things that was on the ballot in Oregon was the decriminalization of possession of small amounts of cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine. Now, the Oregon Drug Initiative will allow people arrested with small amounts of these drugs to avoid going to trial and to avoid possible jail time by paying a $100 fine and attending an addiction recovery program. The treatment centers will be funded by revenues from legalized marijuana, which was approved in Oregon 7 years ago.
They also had mushrooms on the ballot.
Those hallucinogenic sorts of mushrooms.
But is that a good idea or a bad idea? I don't know.
Well, I think you answered your own question. Oregon is imploding. Look at Portland and, you know...
But it's ironic. They're going to pay for it with marijuana money. And there is a school of thought that believes marijuana is a gateway drug.
Yeah, right. I belong to that school.
Well, the elections have repercussions. And just like any of the other issues that were on the ballot, those issues are going to have repercussions also. I mean, look what they've already got in the streets. Of Portland and other places, Seattle, not in Oregon, but Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, and where you have the large homeless population and drug addicts in the street, defecating on the sidewalks, urinating on the sidewalks, needles all over the place, closing down local businesses because it's not safe for their clients to come to their business because they have to traverse all this area of debauchery is all I know how to call it, Bob.
I want to change hats again for just a moment. Lindsey Graham, looking at his race. Now, BLM put it in. Now, Lindsey Graham won his race.
Right.
Okay. BLM put in essentially $200 per vote that they got in South Carolina. Imagine what $200 per person could have done to bring up whatever poverty or whatever else they're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
The money in this election was crazy. The outside money.
I think it was $10 million, excess of $10 million pumped in there to defeat Lindsey Graham, but didn't work.
You know, back to what Mary was talking about legalizing small amounts of different kinds of drugs, I kind of have mixed emotions about that because... it's legal to buy alcohol in most places, and alcohol is also, people can get addicted to that too.
Yes.
as a drug. So it's hard. I don't want it because I don't want those people to be addicted to those kind of drugs. And I think starting off with it, they might become addicted to it and need more and more, to satisfy their craving.
I don't think it's possible to dabble in it and not get addicted
to it.
Well,
these are street drugs.
Yeah.
When you buy a street drug, you don't have any assurance of what's in it.
Right. Yeah.
And we've had people die because somebody laced the heroin with fentanyl.
Or your parents are stoned out of their mind, leave the drugs laying around on the coffee table, and the toddler gets into them. Well, there's all kinds of repercussions. Hal, I'm sorry, I thought you were going to tell us you had converted to libertarian there for a minute.
No, I don't want people to use those kind of drugs, but I have mixed emotions.
Well, it's troubling because in many cases they're victims, and it seems to take somebody who's already a victim and punish them seems bad. But on the other hand, if you don't do something, it'll just get worse.
You've got to go after the dealers.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me get back to what I'm saying to Hal here. The libertarian view, I understand.
Yeah.
When you're talking about freedom, okay?
Right.
But when your freedom involves somebody else's well-being, like I mentioned, You got parents exercising their freedom to be able to do whatever drugs they want to do, but they're leaving them laying around the house, and their kids get a hold of them.
Right.
And either OD on them or, you know, or severely altered for life, that's affecting somebody else. Or you're driving down the freeway, stoned out of your mind, and you wipe out 10 or 15 cars, you know. So you got to draw a line somewhere.
Right.
Okay. If you have the freedom, your freedom should not be encroached upon until you start encroaching upon other people's freedom.
I'm into that.
And when that happens, you know, that's
your
why
freedom
we have
has ended.
Right. That's why we have a legal system that says, okay, we know alcohol affects a lot of families. That's why we had prohibition. Unfortunately, that got overturned.
But if everybody would just do the right thing, we just wouldn't have
right. If you could be responsible with it, but that's not going to happen. You're going to have somebody that's going to abuse it, and they're going to hurt somebody else.
I just want to mention there were other states that legalized recreational marijuana too, and one of the things that happened in Colorado when they did that was mom and dad, many times children of the 60s, were making pot brownies, and the kids got into them, and you had kids coming into the emergency room because they got into mom and dad's brownies. And a number of emergency room visits in Colorado after marijuana was legalized by kids did go up.
Yeah, I've seen news stories where kids, not toddlers, but elementary school kids, brought bags of heroin to school.
Yeah,
that they brought from home.
Yeah.
Show and tell?
Yeah.
Oh,
they probably didn't even know what it, they just seen it. It was commonplace around the house, so they picked it up and brought it to school with them.
I guess it's different strokes for different folks, but then I think it wasn't it in Nevada that prostitution is still legal? I think that's true.
I don't know. It's easier to control a drugged out population.
Yeah.
That's something that might be considered also.
Not a good thought.
Well,
a true thought,
that.
But not a good one.
Sorry about that.
To think about.
This just in, Trump has just sued a third state. He's suing Georgia.
Oh, my goodness.
Good.
Oh, but there's a problem in Fulton County.
Yeah, yeah.
That I stumbled across.
I don't understand it, but hey, some people, I don't know. I don't know how you live in the South and do some of the things you do, because we're not typically known for being that way. And some of the results of these elections just say there's a lot of outside influence coming from somewhere.
It's worse than outside influence. I think voter fraud in various formats is rampant.
All right. All right, well, we need to take another break to hear from our fabulous sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Oh, golly gee, fellas, we've had our grand time talking about the elections, and I hate to move away from it. So before I do, I want to recap. It sucks.
Excellent summary.
And folks, you should be learning a huge lesson from this, how important your involvement in the process is. There is fraud. There is abuse. There's all kinds of trickery and chicanery going on out there. And the only way to offset it is to get in, do it the right way, and do it every time. Don't sit home and wait for other people to get it done. You've got to be a part of the process. You've got to be part of the solution. If you're not, you're part of the problem.
You know, one other quick thing is you have to respect the person's policies. You may not have to like the candidate, but you've got to respect the policies. If somebody's in office and doing things that you like, but somebody tells you, oh, I don't like that individual, I want to go to an auto mechanic that fixes my car, not one that schmoozes me.
Right. And I'd like to repeat something Bob's already said, and that's that Mrs. Melanie Ray, that's our director of Board of Elections here in Craven County, is a wonderful person. She's fair to everybody, and she tries her best to get it done right.
Absolutely. Now, her whole staff is excellent because she
right.
demands
the
that
whole
of them.
Staff is wonderful.
Well, going back to what Bob said, Bob, I agree. 100%. There was a time that we had respect for the office of the presidency, not necessarily for the president that was occupying it, but for the office itself.
Right.
And for our agencies, you know. Mm-hmm. FBI has lost all respect, you know, because of the corruption that's going on there. So are a lot of the other agencies.
But everybody that talks about the FBI always mentions that the lower ones, the agents out in the field, you know, are still to be respected.
Absolutely. I understand that.
Yes. If I got your point, though, Rick. I just wanted to mention that.
And it goes across the board, right down to your local police departments. You'll find corruption there in a lot of places, not necessarily in your hometown, but, you know, in somebody's hometown. There's corruption in the police departments or the sheriff's department.
Sure.
You're going to find that. You're going to find very good cops. You're going to find some bad apples, some bad cops every now and then. Mm-hmm. And you have to deal with that. But, you know, you got to maintain respect for the office or the position. When I was a kid, the cop on the corner with the blue uniform on, if you were in trouble or you needed something or you were lost, you weren't afraid of him.
Mm.
You were taught to go to him, and he would help you.
Mm-hmm.
And
Rick, there's a complicating factor, though. I was taught the same thing, and I feel like for the most part, it would still be safe to do that. But teaching respect for an office when the office, even very high ones, are occupied by people who are absolutely evil and corrupt is a confusing thing.
Absolutely. But see, if you respect the office, you're going to do everything you can to protect that office and to get rid of the corruption and return it to the status that it should be in. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, look back at history and how respected the office of the presidency has been, not just here in this country, but around the world. Okay.
And I would still feel that way every time it was held by anybody, even the people with whom I disagree, if I thought they were sincere and honest and trying to do the best they can as they're by their own lights. But I don't think that's what's happened in the recent past. I think we have had people hold high office who use that high office for nefarious purposes,
right.
And I that tears me up.
But that's the occupant.
Yes.
You can disrespect the occupant for their corruption or their actions and not upholding the integrity of the office they're occupying.
Well, I see your point.
Right?
I see your point.
That's what I'm saying. As much as you don't like them, it's still our presidency of the United States. It's running the country. And, you know, a few years down the road, however long it is, till the next election, you can have the opportunity to get rid of that corruption and put in somebody else. But,
well, there you've hit a nerve again, because I've always felt like that until recent times. Now I think the decks are so stacked that unless we clean house, we don't have a prayer of the next time getting somebody good in, because there is a network of evildoers who are trying to prevent that. And I'm sitting on the edge of my chair thinking, is this the time they completely dump us and we can't ever control our own destiny again?
I totally understand. I understand why you feel that way. Do I need to send you to your room before I hit another nerve?
I don't know. Try me.
Well, Hal, you are vice chairman of Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and with that comes the responsibility of planning out our meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now in the month of November, so our November meeting's coming up. And I think you've got some ideas on that.
I have some ideas on it, but you might have to excuse me if it's not really totally put together right now. I've been a little busy with some other things. But one of the things that I want to do is some of the people who are newly elected, and maybe some, you know, like somebody like Michael Speciale, who has been a representative for this area for some time, to invite them to come to speak to us. And ask them some questions and get them to respond to some questions. And some of the questions that I've got in mind are like, how do you feel about an Article 5 Convention of States? You know, I've heard some controversy back and forth between some of these elected people about how they feel about that. I think that would be interesting. And also about voter integrity. I think that they could have some good ideas about that. How do they feel about it? And then another one is this gubernatorial overreach in an emergency, which I've already mentioned. So I think it'd be interesting to some of the newly elected representatives to come and talk to us about these kind of questions. Just get their answers and give them some time to talk about it and maybe take questions from the floor and things like that.
I think that's a good idea, but let's don't limit it to just newly elected. I mean,
okay, well, Michael's not newly elected, and that was another one.
Well, so, like Keith Kidwell has won re-election.
Oh, well,
you know, he's not new.
I meant re-elected either one.
Oh, okay.
When I say elected, I meant re-elected as well.
But what I'm saying is
Keith would certainly be invited.
We can use it like a meet and greet, come and meet and greet and talk with and exchange ideas with your representatives.
Maybe Representative Greg Murphy would come. I don't know. We're going to invite him and find out.
All right.
But I would surely like to hear their thoughts on how to solve some of the problems that are just galling us.
Right. Okay, well, we'll give you an update on that as that date approaches. It'll be the third Tuesday of the month. That's when we have our public meetings, and they're free and open to the public. So as soon as Hal gets it all pulled together and sends out the invites and gets some responses back, and we can tell you more about it, we will. But we will be having a public meeting the third Tuesday of the month at Stanley Ball Hall Room.
Stanley Hall Ballroom.
I tell you, we're all punchy tonight.
We have been on our feet for weeks now, it seems like. We got to get it all pulled back together here and recuperate, but we'll do that. Anyway, Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern, on corner of Craven and Pollock Streets. And there's an elevator on Craven Street, so you can ride it all the way to the top. Which
249 is Craven.
249 Craven. You can ride that elevator up to the second floor, and that's where the ballroom is. It's a beautifully renovated historic place there that they hold venues for weddings and other events, and we're very fortunate to be able to hold our meetings there. Also, cctaxpayers.com. That's our website. That's where you can find out more about our organization, a lot of information there. It's not as up-to-date as I'd like for it to be because we're a little understaffed and overworked on some things there, and it takes time to keep it up-to-date. But as things calm down in the election cycle, some of us will get back to work on those things. But there is a lot of information there for you. About our meetings, they'll always be on the first page, the home page. We have candidate vetting reports that Hal puts up there, and just a lot of different things.
You may want to mention the
donate button.
No, the CCT in action page in the County Compass. That's right. Always very good to read.
Right. If you're not familiar with the County Compass, it's a local publication, a small newspaper that is very conservative in its views and the articles that are in there. And we have a full page in there.
And Rainer's the editor of that page.
Right. The CCTA in action page. On there is the Trump report card. Which just tracks what our president has accomplished and what he's been doing. And Connie Hanna writes that for us, and she does a good job of presenting that. So there's a lot of information there in the County Compass as well as on our website. We also have a Facebook page and a Twitter account. Anything that's put on our website automatically goes out to our Facebook page and our Twitter account. And we appreciate your comments and your interaction and you sharing the pages and posts. And it's really good to be able to interact like that. So far, Twitter nor Facebook has shut us down. So I think we did get one warning one time that we failed a fact check because a lot of the stuff that's posted on our page is not necessarily posted by CCTA. It's an aggregated thing that comes from a news source, and it may be a conservative news source that they don't like, so they fact check it. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you for tuning in to CCTA Wake Up Call. Don't forget to go out and visit our sponsors. Tell them you heard about them here on CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.